Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Hey guys, I don't want to take up too much of your time tonight. I know that you guys have a lot going on in your lives, but just for the next few minutes, if you would bear with me, I want to talk to you guys about just kind of an evaluation and kind of a way to think about your life and think about where you are and think about where you want to be and kind of help you prioritize and think about what's important in life. I don't know where you are in your life spiritually, and I don't want to assume anything because, that's just not the right thing to do. And so if you are somebody who is new to faith, new to belief, then I want you to see this as kind of a basis for growth. See this as a basis for understanding what you ought to be working on. If you are mature in the faith, you might be tempted to roll your eyes at some of these things and think, I've heard this before, or, you know, I've heard a rendition of this before. And it's easy for us to think that we have already reached our peak in our spiritual life, but I just want to encourage you guys, and I'm included in this, that if you have been a Christian for a long time, you probably have barely even scratched the surface as far as the spiritual growth that you could accomplish. And I do say you could accomplish because God is never changing. He's always there. It's our choice of how much we want to let him into our lives. It's our choice of how much we want to grow. It's our choice of how close we want to be to him. And the more I realize, you know, where I've been in life and where I'm at now, the more I understand God's greatness and see how big he is and how much more I could be focused and connected, focused in connecting with him. And so I encourage you guys, no matter where you are in your faith journey, just to listen to these words and just to evaluate yourself through this, okay? So we're going to start in the book of Genesis. Real quickly, just a recap of Genesis chapter 1. I've taught this a couple times lately. But in Genesis chapter 1, God, it's the creation story. God creates everything, right? He creates us. He creates the oceans, the seas, the mountains, the animals. He creates every living being from the tiniest to the biggest, right? And he creates the environments that we live in. And every single time that he creates something, he says that he looks at it and says that it's good, right? And the word good there is a Hebrew word, and the word is tob, T-O-W-B. And it means to improve. And so when you think about God's creation, he looks at kind of this, he creates the heavens and the earth, he creates the oceans, he creates the mountains, and he says, that's better than it was before, right? Then he creates the animals, and he says, that's better than it was before. And then he creates us, and he says, that's better than it was before. Well, he creates man, and then he has to create woman, right, in order to really complete that picture. He says, man alone is okay, but man with woman, that's much better than it was before. So God is in the improvement game. He's constantly working, even in our lives today. I believe this 100%. This is pre-sin, the story in Genesis chapter 1. It's kind of a picture of God's perfect plan. And with Jesus, we have the restoration of all things. And so if you think about it, God is in that process today of creating new things within us. And if he's not constantly creating new things within you, then you got to ask why. Yeah, it'd be important for you to sit down, you know, take a notebook, write down your prayers, write down your thoughts, and start talking to God about this and saying, Lord, what is it that you want to create in me? When King David sinned, he messed up with Bathsheba. He ends up writing later in a psalm, in Psalm 51, and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And that idea, to me, is a miracle. It's something that God can and will do. He'll continue to create new things within us. And so within that idea of the creation story, if you look in Genesis chapter 2:15, it says that when God put man in the garden, he put Adam in the garden, he called him and Eve to work it and to keep it. And the word, the Hebrew word for work it, right? The Hebrew word for that is to cultivate, to serve, and to worship. So you think about this garden that God puts us in, and he calls us to cultivate it. He calls us to work it. He calls us to put our hands to the plow, right? And to do the things that we're supposed to do. And this somehow is a form of worship. You think about our work today and how we get up in the morning and we go back to the grind and we think, man, what am I working toward? And sometimes it can get hard to stay motivated. Sometimes it can get really difficult to stay excited about work. But if we're able to put ourselves in this mindset that everything that we do it for God, that's a completely different mindset than waking up and having to work for the man, right? Or have to work for a paycheck or have to work because you just have to work, right? It's a much different thing when you think about it in terms of worshiping God. The next Hebrew verbiage for keeping the garden means to observe and guard and protect. God has put us all into this garden, and I want to talk to you guys about that a little bit deeper and what it actually means for us. I created a very, very simple kind of a target image that we'll throw up here in a second. But within that target, in the very middle, we have ourselves, you, right? And then one ring out, we have our family. And then one ring out from that, we have our community. Now, the reason that I drew this in the form of a target was because I wanted you to understand the priority here. I think sometimes we forget that the most important person that we need to work on is ourselves. And it's easy to do that because I think sometimes we get confused in the Christian teaching and we think that if I'm working on myself too much, then that means that I'm being selfish. And it's easy to think that way. I was there for a long time. I thought that for a long time. And I thought, man, if you're constantly thinking about yourself and constantly, you know, looking out for number one, that is selfish. And it is. It is selfish. But there's a difference between that and just taking care of yourself, right? If I'm unhealthy spiritually, if I'm unhealthy physically, if I'm unhealthy mentally, then I'm not going to be any good for anyone else in my life. I'm not going to be able to be there for anyone else or to be any type of source for them of light or of help or of inspiration. I'm going to be constantly in a state of struggle. And so the first one in our garden that we need to focus on is ourselves. Again, not being somebody who is completely selfish. You know, this term self-care has kind of overtaken our society these days because there's some truth in it. But it can also go too far where self-care can be like every day is a spa day. Every day I need to take care of and do all these things for myself. I need to buy myself all these new clothes and all these different things. Yeah, that can easily, kind of shift into selfishness. But when I talk about spiritual self-care or mental self-care or physical self-care, it's just taking care of your health. It's making sure that you are good so that you can serve God, so that you can give. It's like a car without a gas tank or a car without being charged with its electrical battery, whatever it is these days, right? If it's not charged, if it doesn't have gas in the tank, it ain't going anywhere, right? And for us, it's the same. If we don't have gas in our tank, we're not going anywhere. So you have to think about it, really think about it this year. And as the new year kind of comes in, what fills your gas tank? What is it that you need? And I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. So maybe you guys have a good exercise routine and maybe it's not intense. You're not like a gym rat. You're not going in there and just pumping iron all day long. And that's okay. Some of you guys do, and that's okay too. But some of you guys just walk around the block and that's enough. Okay. So that's taken care of. But what about your spiritual life? Are you spiritually healthy? Are you connecting with God on a regular basis? Are you taking time to breathe? Are you really not just reading the Bible, but are you looking for God to communicate to you through it? there are ways to connect with God, and it all kind of starts with the humility and an ability just to say, hey, God, I surrender to you. And so if you start every morning with just that idea of, I surrender, God, what do you want today? And again, take a notebook, write those things down, write your prayers down so that you know when God answers those prayers. And the third ring in the target here is community. And that's, let me go back. I need to go back to the second ring. I didn't really do that one. So the second ring is your family, okay? Your family, it's kind of an extension of you. It's the people that God has brought into your lives. Like, I think about my wife. She's the number one person in my family that I need to connect with on a regular basis, that I need to make sure is healthy. She's an extension of me, right? It says in the Bible that the two shall become one flesh. And so it is my responsibility to make sure that she's healthy, that she's good. And then my kids are an extension of our relationship. And so my home would be the most important part of my family. But then beyond my home, I have these friends and these people that God has put in my life that I need to cultivate. I need to be there for them. And you know, not as much as my wife or my kids, but I have to look out for them. I have to make sure that they are in a good spot. I have to make sure that they're in a good place. And so I look out for them. I'm not fully responsible, but responsible to an extent. And then the third ring, then we get to community. Now, community is your workplace, right? Or your school, or the place you volunteer, or the, you know, whenever you leave your home or leave that circle of friends, it's the people in your life. It's the people in your town. It's the people in your neighborhood. And when it comes to that, there's a really good verse that I want to share with you guys. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. I'm just going to read that. This is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. And he says this. He says, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Paul wrote to them and said, "You are our letter. You are the communication. You are this letter that is going to be read by the people that you come in contact with." You see, not everybody in our lives is going to just automatically pick up one of these and start reading it, right? Like, they're not going to start reading the Bible from page one. Some people will, but some people won't. And so the only Bible or the only text that they read is your life, right? They're watching you. They're looking at you and seeing what you're made of and seeing what you live for. And so I'd encourage you with that to behave a certain way, to glorify God with everything that you have. And you know, we're not perfect. I get that. Sometimes we get upset when we're driving or I know I've had a couple of moments this last year that I need to repent of where I've just had a little bit of anger on the road and I was not a good letter that day. And so we're not perfect, but we have to work on it. We have to be, the light, and we have to be the salt the best that we can. And that comes back to taking care of ourselves, right? And so, I just want to encourage you guys to, you know, look out for one another. I want to encourage you guys to take it seriously, that we are God's workmanship, but we are also, we're his witnesses. We are the only ones that will be able to communicate his word and communicate his love when it all comes down to it. This year is going to be interesting. It's an election year. It's going to be tough. There are going to be many hotheads. We're going to hear it. We're going to see it. We're probably going to see people in the streets rioting this year. Who knows? That's why we need to, more than ever, as the world gets more intense, as the world gets more heated, I should say, right? As the world becomes this place, this boiling kind of tension, hot spot, this craziness, we need to be the sanity. We need to be the stability. And the only way that we can do that is to rely on God, but then also do our part. Going back to the creation story, right? God improves. That's his work. That's what he does. But then he also gave us a responsibility to work and do the things that we're called to do, to take care of our garden. So take care of yourself, take care of your family, and take care of the community. Focus on those things. And in all that, let that be your worship to God. Let that be your lifestyle. And we're all in this together. I mean, I've heard that said a million times, and I know that's played out, but it's true. We are together. So if you need prayer, if you need help, reach out to us. Reach out to one another. If you are somebody who considers yourself a person of faith, pray about who you can reach out to. Pray about who you can encourage, and do it. And let's just, as a church, let's grow together this year. Let's focus on God. Let's acknowledge him in all of our ways. And it says in Proverbs 3, chapter 5, that if we do acknowledge him in all of our ways, that he will make our paths straight. He will. And we can trust him in that. He's always coming through. He never lets us go. He always takes care of us. He always does his part. He always does the tob, the good of improvement. But it's our choice to take him up on that and to accept it and receive it and to move in his will. And so I'd encourage you guys, as you put your plan together to work out, also put your plan together to pray and to breathe and to take care of yourself spiritually and mentally. I love you guys, and I hope this short message helps. Take the next few minutes to grab a journal if you have one, or even your phone and your notes, however you would normally take notes. And jot down a few things that you're going to do to better take care of your garden this year, okay? Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.